Wednesday. V-minus 34. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Clark awoke from a sound sleep and spent the first 4 hours of Wednesday catching up on some administrative work that had slipped by in recent days. The urgency of the reports he had to file acted as a welcome distraction from the complicated issues that had ironically distracted him from this work in the first place. Chiefly the two recently discovered triangles, but also Dan's safety during the final leg of what had turned into something of a whistle-stop Latin American tour. When it came time to leave for work, Clark called on Rooster to take him back to his next-door home. "Come on, Tara's there," he said, sensing the dog's reluctance to return to a house that had been empty when he left it. Clark opened the door. "See, her car is..." "Huh?" To Clark's surprise, Tara's car wasn't there. The closed curtains made it clear that she hadn't just gone out either, and rather that she hadn't come home. Given the strength of her insistence that she would, Clark was understandably concerned. He grabbed his phone and dialed her number, but the concern only grew when a recorded voice informed him that the number was currently unavailable. Rooster looked confused when Clark reclosed the door and sat down with his phone still in his hand, but Clark's was a look of anxious focus. He navigated to his Friend Finder app in the expectation that it would show her current location as either her own place in the city or wherever Jason Moore lived. This expectation went disconcertingly unmet, however, when the app revealed that Tara's phone was last active in the woods west of town and had cut off abruptly at 3 a.m. Because Tara was a primary friend who shared the maximum possible amount of linked information with Clark, he could also tell that the smart lock on her home's front door hadn't been used in over 24 hours. Whatever happened after 3 a.m., she hadn't gone home. With his heart rate ever increasing, Clark urgently switched out of that app and checked first Tara's social media and then Jason's. He was extremely concerned to see that neither had been active all day. "What the fuck?" Clark rapidly searched the internet for a satellite view of the woodland area that was shown in a small image within his Friend Finder app. He lucked out in finding not only a satellite image, but also a full ground-level view of what turned out to be a popular walking route. To his dismay, however, there was no cabin in the vicinity. Either Tara had lied, or Tara had been lied to. Following his instincts, Clark began an intensive search for Jason Moore's home address so that he could stop by to find out just what the hell was happening. The rational part of his mind told him that Tara would be there and wouldn't thank him for showing up, but that wasn't what mattered. What mattered was making sure she was okay, and in doing so, keeping a promise he had made to Emma and one he had a boundless urge to see through. Very frustratingly, however, Clark couldn't find any address or direct contact for Jason. Even an indirect contact proved elusive. From what he could tell, the former TV star no longer seemed to be officially represented by any talent agencies. Calls weren't connecting to Emma's phone either, or Dan's, or even Kyle Young's, which Clark could only put down to a lack of coverage or a temporary signal issue on the Honduran island of Roatan. When he needed help more than ever, he was on his own. The sole lead Clark did find was the nearby address of Jason's parents, listed in a year-old news report about Jason's father posting bail after his son's arrest for petty larceny. Frustratingly, there was no phone number listed, which was all he would have needed to reach them as a means of getting in touch with Jason, but fortunately, their home was so close that it would take only a few minutes of driving to visit them in person. With this in mind, and with a sound alibi for stopping by in the form of his role in the police force, Clark got ready to follow through on the only lead he had. Before leaving, he sent a quick text to his friend and colleague Zach, explaining that he'd finished his reports, but asking if Zach could cover his shift since he didn't feel in the right frame of mind for a half day at the precinct. The uncertainty around the triangles, not to mention the inevitable stress that went along with Dan's high-profile absence, provided sufficient context for Zach to take this highly uncharacteristic request at face value. He replied within seconds to say it would be no problem at all. Clark had done the same for him more than once, and made a point of encouraging him to take it easy. Taking it easy wasn't on Clark's agenda, at least until he figured out what was going on with Tara, but he appreciated the sentiment. He then texted his boss, which he hadn't wanted to do until the shift was covered, and was glad to receive another rapid reply along the same supportive lines as Zach's. Coming or staying? Clark asked the dog while he walked out of his bedroom, ready to go. He wasn't too surprised to see that Rooster was already standing at the door. With Rooster in the back, the car sped out of Birchwood at a borderline irresponsible pace. At the edge of town, Clark pumped the brakes at the old drive-in. He caught sight of Phil Norris's car and ran to the entrance of New Care Grill and Bar and Grill, pausing at the door only to compose himself. He hoped to find Phil alone somewhere so that they could talk quickly, and was relieved to see him right away behind the bar. He walked over without delay.
"Thirsty already?"
the rough around the edges proprietor asked, surprised to see Clark in the bar at this time of day rather than at a table in the adjoining restaurant.
"All this alien shit might be getting the better of me," Clark replied quietly, eyes darting around to make sure no one else was listening in. "But I think Tara might be in some kind of trouble, and I need you to check out a spot in the woods. I need you to see if her phone is actually there, or if it just stopped working there. And I need you to do that, because I need to spend the next 10 minutes finding out where she is now. This is on the down low. It could get messy, and you're the man I need."
"What kind of trouble do you think she could be in? And what spot in the woods?" Phil asked. Even as he spoke, he was clicking his fingers to beckon a relatively senior staff member he could entrust with the running of the bar in his absence. He laid out some brief instructions and headed for the door. Clark talked as they walked.
"She didn't come home last night, and her phone lost signal in the woods at 3 a.m. I'll give you the coordinates. I need to find the guy she was with last night, because he's either with her or he knows where she is. I'm thinking all kinds of shit, Phil, but this is the only way to do it."
"Whoa," Phil said, stopping in his tracks.
"Jesus, Clark, why are you bringing this to me instead of the police?"
"I am the fucking police, and I don't have time for any crap, so if you don't want to do this, I'll do it," Phil interrupted.
"Coordinates?"
Clark held out his phone as Phil jotted it all down. "This is probably nothing to worry about, just a dropped phone, but she said she would definitely be home last night. She did tell me she would be checking out a cabin with this guy she's been staying with, and he's supposed to be clean after a drug thing he fell into a few years ago, but there's no cabin anywhere near this spot."
"I don't know, Phil." Clark gulped uneasily.
"They're almost definitely sitting in his house right now, but she parties hard when she's with the wrong people, so I'm worried this guy's not clean and they were maybe heading out there for a deal. If she dropped her phone and that's it, we can handle that. But what if there was a deal and it went wrong?"
"I'll be there in no time," Phil said, noting how nearby the spot was.
"Whether I find a phone or not, do you want me to join you wherever you're going?"
"Yeah, here's the address, but stay at a safe distance," Clark replied.
"We'll stay in touch, and if I have to go anywhere else after that, I'll make sure you don't lose me."
Phil nodded. "She'll be okay, Clark. She is okay."
"All I want to do is find out where she is and make absolutely sure," Clark said, gratefully shaking Phil's hand before opening his car door. "And for that, I've got to find this fucking guy."